DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Not another podcast.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Bryce.
We're reckless, arrogant, stupid dicks.
Big Jim.
Wubble-ubba-dub-dub. That's my catchphrase, remember?
Samantha.
I have one job on this lousy ship. It's stupid, but I'm gonna do it, okay?
Dan.
I don't know who you are, but I have a very particular lack of skills. I will never be able to find you.
Not another podcast.
You know, you guys should just get together and walk across the country collecting cans and bottles off the highways and stuff.
I mean,
it'll be a good workout.
Job satisfaction for sure.
Keep laughing.
Oh, and then you film it, and then you publish. You publish the videos, and you call it Adventures with Sam and Danny.
There we go. Menstrata and
you make it. You make it a travel vlog.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
You could sell it to Discovery Channel.
We'll do it. We'll have an Instagram account.
Totes. Get those sunrise photos holding water bottles at our side. You know.
Yeah. It'd be like Blair Witch
meets that are all crinkled up.
It'd be like Blair Witch meets Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah. See, this is actually a good concept. We get Danny and Samantha, and we drop them both in a city, and they have to figure out how to get from that city to the final destination city, and they just film it.
Where's the final destination city?
Well, we got to figure out where the starting city is.
Seattle to Washington, D.C. Fuck!
I was going to say Seattle to, like, Portland, Maine.
Ow!
You can get there by any means you deem necessary. You can bus, train, hitchhike, whatever. But you
Danny
have
gives blowjobs for money.
I was just going to say Samantha pimps out Danny.
Yes!
At truck stops.
I'm not doing that work. I'll just collect
trucker
money.
Leaves, and she's like, what did I tell you? Velvet mouth, right?
Jesus. That's your friend, Samantha.
I mean,
I claim no ownership over this friendship.
That's probably best. That's probably a good call.
It's every time Danny comes out in tears and just, God damn it, I'm not doing this again. Yeah, you are, sweetheart. Come on.
You can just end that sentence with when Danny comes.
When Danny comes, the pipes are calling.
Are clean.
No, it's more like, when Danny comes, the tears be falling.
And nice. Hentai porn is all that I see.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing wrong with some hentai.
But no, little squid billies.
Yeah.
So, we all watched the movie. Again.
Yeah, we did.
Are we going to start, or are we just going to kind of keep this
We're just going into it, man.
Let's just do it.
I don't know if you've listened to any of the episodes, but I always just start us like mid-conversation.
That's okay. Because
it makes people wonder what the hell they missed before we started rolling.
If they're here, they know what they're getting in for.
They really
can just cut the bullshit and just get straight to the shaming.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the movie was called Bit.
Oh, fuck. Should have been called Suck. That fucking movie.
A little too on the nose there, bud.
Yeah. I will.
Plus, we already watched Suck.
I will. What, was that Teeth?
Well, no, whatever. you and I and Bryce watched a movie called Suck, and it did.
Jim's like, I have blocked that out of my
And oddly head. Enough, it was vampires in that as well.
Hey, considering the fact that I was the grand master loser of this entire competition, you mind if I take my first crack at Bite?
Sure.
I don't know what movie Bite is, but
we watched Bit.
Kid-ass messing with
Yeah, me. Bit. So, you know, going into that movie, I was a little salty to begin with. Out of sheer principle, I lost. A little salty, not going to lie. But I started
watching. Why do we fall, Master Bruce? Why do we fall?
Huh?
Why do we fall, Master Bruce?
Well.
So we can kick the other guy in the nuts and then eventually get back on our feet.
Pretty much.
That is why we fall.
Like I said, I went into this movie you know, expecting it to be a giant pile of horseshit. And I wasn't necessarily wrong. Now, here's the thing. So the first half of that movie, I hated it.
Yeah.
I hated every last fucking second of it. Right up until I started getting some backstory on the characters. Once I started getting the backstory, I immediately was like, you know, okay. All right. Keep going. I'm slightly intrigued, but not enough to care. And as the movie progressed on, I felt like the first half of the movie was written by somebody else. The second half was like, holy shit, we have to salvage this piece of garbage. Let's make it mildly entertaining.
Now, could it have been the same person who just had a stroke partway through writing the script? Could
that I'm be assuming that the person who wrote it wrote the first half when they were like 15 in high
school.
Right
after they read Twilight for the first time.
Right after they read Twilight. They really had a hard-on for making a really badass vampire story. And then they put it down, didn't touch it for like, well, 10 years. And grew up a little bit and realized, holy God, this is terrible. But I'm not going to change much of it. But I'm just going to finish it. And I'm going to finish okay. On the whole, the movie, I will say it's better than Clown Town.
You think it's better than Clown Town?
Because at least it had an ending that I expected. Not one I wasn't looking forward to expecting. Clown Town left you with the feeling of, ugh. This left you a feeling of, yeah, I saw that coming. And I'm okay with that because, honestly, between that, Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves, and yes. Aqua Slash, I'm going to say this movie had the best production value.
Oh, yeah.
Had the highest budget. And at least the back half of it was mildly okay written. So, yeah. I'm going to say that this one thus far is still better than James's, Bryce's, and I'm sorry to say, even Sam's.
I would argue that Clown Town cinematography was better.
Blech! Blech!
Their filming was more steady. I think the filming was better.
If we're going to look at details like that, then yes, the cinematography and lighting on Clown Town was better done than Bit.
I disagree with that.
That was the only thing saving Clown.
They had,
exactly.
With Bit, they had different locations, so they had different lighting schemes that they had to come up with, and everything looked believable. When they were like on the roof, I felt like they were on the roof. When they were on the street, I felt like they were on the street. With Clown Town,
when they were
just
flying
like,
above, you could tell they had wires, but it was at least a street scene behind them.
Yeah.
Or they were on like this green screen treadmill, because the one girl's like, I'm going to run across to you.
Yeah.
No, really she's just funny. Good at her wire game. That's all, you know. Them wire harnesses are hard to really articulate in. So, as good as you're going to get. It's high quality acting there.
But since this turd was my fault, I'll let everybody else kind of, you know, give their sense, and then I will cap it all off. But so, okay, Dan, you think this was actually the best film that we've watched then?
Of the ones that we've watched thus far, yes. Because, again, The cinematography alone, the production value in the cinematography, the fact it didn't look like a grainy student film, and, you know, the fact that they actually thought about some camera angles before shooting them leads me to that higher lend critique. But on top of that, although the actors were two-dimensional, to say the least,
yeah,
that's still one dimension more than any of the other actors in any of the other movies. Sorry, not sorry.
Okay, I would like to go next, and I'm going to use the approved format that we agreed upon on reviewing these movies. Danny, you need to do your homework.
Mm-hmm.
Clown Town, or Clown Town.
Swing and a miss. Side, a little outside, ball one.
So the first thing is reviewing this movie as if I'm forced to explain it to someone. Bit is essentially what would happen if you took the Lost Boys and took all the coolness out of it and replaced it with hardcore feminist bullshit and political overtones. It essentially starts with this chick who moves to LA for the summer. She's got a lot of issues, apparently, but it's not even hinted at until she and her brother have this epic fight after... Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself, so hang on. So girl goes to nightclub and hit on by hot lesbo vampire chick who, we assume, beds her and then tries to kill her before the lead lesbo vampire tells her to stop so the new girl can be turned into a vampire, which she does. A few days later, the whole lesbo vampire group go get new girl and explain the rules, of which there are many, and are very anti-male.
Actually, they really weren't. The only last one was the only anti-male. The other ones were just stay the hell out of your own, or stay the hell out of other people's heads, was rule number one. Rule number two was
no gleaming. No
if
gleaming
you eat it, kill it. And yeah, rule number three was no dudes. That was
it. Thank you, literal Danny.
Literal, because you said there's a lot of. There's three, motherfucker.
There was a lot of because I was trying to move my page. Dude, there was a lot of because I was trying to move my page and I didn't want everyone to know that I couldn't see what I was reading. Shut the fuck up.
Or that he didn't watch the movie.
Jesus.
Anyway.
Who's manstrating over here?
Danny, apparently.
Fucking, you're a little salty too there.
I've had a shit day. Well. Not as shitty as some, but... Anyway, yeah, can I please continue?
Go ahead.
So, lead chick goes into the whole story about why she hates men, and it turns out she was one of Dracula's brides, and she wasn't too thrilled about it. So this is where the movie starts to go downhill. Up until this point, it was okay. It could have been pretty good because we had a lot of stuff going on that, like with the vampire hunters that you got to be careful of and stuff. And we even see this sort of vampire hunter fight that could have been really good and could have led to something really great. But this is the last time we even hear mention of vampire hunters.
Twice.
So that kind of sucked.
Twice.
Anyway, so they take way too long to set up this bit of exposition. And here's the exposition. Or no, wait, I'm sorry. Oh, at this point, there's very little time left in the movie, and now we have to stuff all the shit in to try and make this movie make sense, and there's too much and too little time, and it basically goes like this. New girl doesn't want to feed on people. She doesn't want to feed on blood. Lead chick tells her she has to or she's going to fuck up big time. New chick gets in a fight with her brother over the fact that she used to be suicidal and now he's butthurt because everyone talks about her and no one pays attention to him. And new chick gets pissed and tries to kill her brother and realizes, oh, I fucked up. So new chick brings her brother back to the lesbo vampire compound to get the cure, which turns out to be Everclear. Lead chick tells her there is no cure. New chick awakens one of the former brides of Dracula, who's been on ice. Bride awakens Dracula. Dracula has a temper tantrum. New chick burns Dracula by spitting the cure in his face and burning him with a lighter. New chick becomes lead chick and decides to share power. There is a lot to unpack in this last half. And yeah, it's all shoehorned in, so it doesn't make any sense. And you see parts of what could have been a really great movie if they'd taken time to get a coherent stream of thought.
I suppose. The only thing I would offer to that, though, is this movie was bad, as all of these movies we have chosen are bad. That last half of the movie was at least mildly entertaining in the respects that it wasn't dragging its heels trying to explain every aspect of it.
Yeah, but see, I disagree.
Vampire hunters got brought up twice. The first time was the big fight, which I agree could have been a lot better. However, I don't give a shit. The second time they were brought up is when those said core group went back out, found them, and blew their ass the fuck
up. Yeah, but that scene was so insignificant as to, again, it just felt... To me,
it was funny because it was a bit more realistic in the respects that you don't have epic battles anymore. And they even made the joke. It's like, why do they always think we don't have weapons? I mean, I'm not going to lie. It is so meta in film, but fuck, that was like, okay. I'll give you that one.
And I agree. I really like that line, but it that line alone tells me they could have had a lot more fun with the vampire hunters, especially since, you know, the first fight, they're being led by what turns out to be a vampire familiar, a guy who wants to be a vampire.
But that's not what the movie's about, though. If it was, you know...
No, the movie's about vampire hunters. The movie is essentially a Lifetime horror movie. The whole thing to me felt... And they, I'm not going to take away because they made really good fucking points, but it felt very anti-man. And that's fine. Especially when, you know, the points are valid. I mean, the gal
valid,
said...
Valid, yes, but only from the point of view of the leader. The chick that becomes the leader later on and wants to share power, she does not share...
That's my point, though. That's exactly my point. It is... the lead chick who was anti-man had reasons, valid reasons to be anti-man, but it was like, it just felt, to me, it felt like two distinct movies shoved together. I think they could have, with more time, with a more coherent script, you could have had a really good movie where they were facing off against the vampire hunters or just dealing with, you know, Vlad.
I'm actually really glad they didn't, though, because then it makes them every other vampire movie ever.
Not really.
Yeah, it does. Van Helsing versus Dracula, the Frog Brothers versus the Lost Boys, essentially. I mean, it's always the vampire hunter versus the vampire. It's
I'm talking the girl vamps against Vlad. Fuck that. They either can go, you know, the vampire girls against the vampire hunters, which could be a compelling story with the right script. Again, the key to it was the fact that they were being led by a familiar. If that familiar had lived and you don't find out he's a familiar until like the end, that would have been a great fucking twist.
Potentially.
Like, oh,
yeah.
He's been leading these guys to kill all the vampires, and it turns out he wants to be one. That was when that happened, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool. I haven't seen that before.
I think one of the worst parts is because you recognize that actor, that's the familiar, yeah. And he's entirely wasted in this movie. That's the biggest travesty.
Yeah.
He is entirely wasted, and you're like, why are you even in this?
Because he probably didn't want to be in to begin with.
Yeah, he's the harbinger at the bar because he tells her not to go.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so she's like, she just ignores him and like, fuck off, creepy guy. You know,
look at his name because I forgot what it is.
He's one of those character actors that I've seen in like a million and a half.
Yeah,
you
see him in everything.
Oh, and he looks like four other actors that I'd be like, oh, it's that bro.
Yeah, but, he's that guy.
But no, I think you're right, James, in that that interesting character arc, they're just sort of like, ha ha, it's this, and then I'm dead. And it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there was no time for that arc to kind of ruminate, and it was compelling to me.
But at the same time, it was more of just a MacGuffin than it was a story arc. It was thrown in there.
But it could have been a story arc. It could have been a really great story arc.
But that's the thing, it wasn't. And that's the thing. It's like we're trying to forecast in what we would like to see in the movie when it's really not. All this was this chick who's figuring her own shit out, finds this group of people who takes her literally out of her comfort zone, and makes her develop into something more than she was. I mean, it essentially is a fucking coming-of-age story, just with some super Twilight-y fan art for vampires. And that's all this movie is. So,
that's
what
fine.
It could have been is amazing, but Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves could have been an amazing movie.
It fucking was. I don't want to fucking hear it, Danny. It fucking was, and you fucking know it. I will come through this Zoom meeting. I don't give a shit. I will come across.
Come on, bro.
Do not speak ill of Helen Keller.
Okay, Samantha's got a point, and then I want to finish
fucking
my
art.
That actor is M.C. Gainey, who played Big John Brittle in Django Unchained.
Yep.
He was... Oh, hold on. I just had it. He was in a few other things, but he was notably Swamp Thing in Con Air. Really? So it's that.
Oh, right. He flew the plane. That's right.
That's
he was
him.
The hillbilly. That's
and he was entirely wasted in this film, and I'm very sad for that.
Yeah.
Well, let's be fair. We forgot all the other movies he was in. We just knew we'd seen him in other movies.
Yeah, like, well, like Jim said, he's a that guy. And
I think that's a real guy testament to an actor. Yeah.
There's a documentary out called That Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's all about those the actors great, that you recognize, but you never remember their name. And it's really good. So, but yeah. And every time he shows up in something, I'm always like, hey! So it's someone you're excited to see.
That's what's his name? Needle Nose Ned from Groundhog Day? Needle Nose Ned. Ned
Oh,
the
yeah,
head.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
me. That guy with the glasses. He's been in so many things. But for me, he'll always be Warner Brandis from Sneakers. Because every time I see him, I just think like, hello, my name is Warner Brandis. My name is my passport. Verify me.
Outstanding.
Thank you for pointless stories with no real nothing. It's just fucking. It's
oh, you mean like
food.
All the movies we've watched?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, devoid of content. Frothy is the word. Devoid of content.
So yeah. I tried to think of deleted scenes I'd like to see in this movie, and there were just none. There's nothing that this movie could have offered. As far as a tagline for the movie goes, you thought you feared feminists before. And then if they were going to reboot it in a big budget sort of thing, I fan cast Vanessa Hudgens as the lead lesbo vampire, Daisy Ridley as the bride who was in the hole, Haley Stenfield as the new girl, and I wanted to see David Harbour as Vlad.
I'm not sure who some of those.
Stranger Things, David Harbour is the sheriff.
Oh,
Hooper. Did do Hellboy.
Oh. Yeah, he did Hellboy.
Okay.
Haley Stenfield is one of those that girls. She's been in tons of stuff, but she hasn't really hit big yet.
I didn't recognize that name.
Yeah. But the other two you should know. So.
Yeah.
Samantha, you saw a movie, right?
I did see a movie. If I was going to explain this to someone, then I would say it's a movie.
And he wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah, it's a movie that tries
on the nose.
It tried way too hard to be cool and edgy, but it never quite got there. It tried too hard to be gritty, but never quite got there. It's about these like fembot vampires who think they're feminists, but putting men down to not be equals is not a feminist ideal. Equality is the ideal. So they're misled feminists.
Misled narcissists.
I have that too. They're misled feminists by one person who's very anti-male. And things ensue. The big bad guy who's been locked away comes back, and then he's easily defeated almost instantly. And there was no real stakes. Haha, stakes, because they're vampires.
See, because with and they be stabbed in the torpor.
There's no real stakes in this movie. There's no...
It's like, yeah, her soul's no on the line, and we're like, and? Like,
yeah, right. There's no interpersonal like connection. Apparently, when you go through changes in your life, it means you have to be a shitty friend. So that's what I got from this, and that's how I'm going to explain it to someone else. Deleted scenes I'd like to see in this. Any sort of flashback to what the new girl's, Laurel, to what Laurel's past was?
Yeah.
Because in the description, didn't it say she was transgender?
Yeah.
So they did absolutely nothing with that. And this could have been a really cool commentary movie on these types of things. Like, I was expecting her to be like, yo, I was a guy. You're not supposed to. So I thought it was going to take that route. But it didn't. It did absolutely nothing to further
any
time.
Did they say that in the synopsis?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the only place you got that there was supposed to be. There was nothing. And honestly, a vampire movie would have been a great commentary on that sort of change and acceptance of change.
Using vampirism as like a metaphor for alienation within.
They did nothing.
They did nothing to further the conversation. They did nothing to further acceptance of different lifestyles. So it just, they threw it in there to be, quote, woke. And that's not good enough. And to me, that's more insulting than if they just made her a regular girl. So it's
not gonna lie, I didn't look at the synopsis. But if I'd have seen that, I'd have been kind of pissed.
Yeah.
Now, you know, bisexual? Absolutely. I could buy that. Or just straight homosexual. Totally would have bought that too. Yeah. Because honestly, that's what we get in that movie. And it's awesome. I don't care. But transgender, that seems like you guys are what my wife likes to call queer baiting.
Yeah, exactly. And they did absolutely nothing with it. Like I said, I would be more insulted that they're just throwing terms around that they know nothing about or what the lifestyle is about or what someone mentally and physically and emotionally is going through to make those changes. It does none of that. Anyway, deleted scenes. I would like to see her past, maybe some transitions, why she's so angsty, because you don't know why. You're just like, oh, she's a teenager.
Yeah.
And that's all you think. I would like to see some deleted scenes with maybe her and her best friend that just randomly decides to kill himself for no reason.
Tries to.
I mean,
he takes a bottle of aspirin. So, he attempts suicide, which is a horrible thing. Well, no, there was no reason that we were given. We can speculate as to the reason. But if the reason was because she never called him back, no, we didn't.
The only thing we knew about that character was he was gay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, he, at the very beginning, he's sitting there.
Don't give me that, Danny.
Where they were sitting there, and he's saying, like, you're going to go to L.A. and you're going to forget all about me and everything else. And she's swearing up and down that that's not going to happen. And you kind of almost believe her. And then she goes down there and totally like leaves him. And in my head, I was actually thinking, like, what happens if this guy, and I'm sure it's going to happen, he's going to, something bad's going to, because it's like a hillbilly town that they're in. I'm sure not real gay friendly at the pickup trucks, beer bash and, beer and queer bash, I don't understand. But I'm sorry, I just wanted to throw it in there.
But that's some of the deleted scenes I would like to see. I would like to see that there was actually a relationship there, because there is no depth to their friendship.
There wasn't enough to give me as a viewer the idea that these guys were close. I would have bought the emergency from the best friend if he'd been in an accident or something.
I feel like that would be more realistic.
Him up that he tried to commit suicide, there's nothing there in anything that they did to set up that this guy might have had an issue. It puts that sort of suspense of disbelief on the viewer to go, oh, well, he's clearly having issues and she wasn't there for him. No, in a movie like that, you as the filmmaker have to give that to the audience. Otherwise, it doesn't float. None of us bought it.
Danny's making faces.
He's always making faces.
And I'm rolling my eyes at him because I'm totally with James. And, there wasn't anything emotionally shown between the two. And there was nothing foreshadowed that he has had suicidal thoughts in the past. So again, it's deleted scenes that would just tie up those ends. That's all.
And I got you. And the only reason I make faces is because, first off, I would never pretend to know what it's like to be openly gay about anything at all and try to live in a teenage life during high school, having gone through that kind of situation. So that in and of itself, I'll write that one off. But what I gathered from the two of them from the very beginning of the movie, which, by the way, why is every high school house party got to be American Pie with red Solo cups?
Because the song was made about it.
So here's the thing. gathered from those two and just the interactions that they had both in the party and outside of the party is they're all each other ever had. That was it. There's a reason why he was concerned about her going to L.A. and forgetting all about him, because that literally leaves his ass completely alone. Now, again, understanding what is considered social norms versus what you know, we presumed to be. I know that living in Central Oregon, which is where this high school was supposed to be, you'd like to think that Oregon is much more forward-thinking than most, but I'll be honest with you, the further inward you get, the less that becomes a thing. But again, so it's one of those things, if I didn't live in Oregon, I would have bought it a hell of a lot easier. But even living in Oregon, I still buy it. And then the frantic calls, the frantic trying to get a hold of him, she's answering nobody. And who knows, he might have reached out to the brother, he might have reached out to the parents, and that freaked them out even further, and so forth and so on. And so once he realized that she's just completely written his ass off, the one thing isolation will do, number one, two, is make you bear down on yourself where you're already down. So I bought his scenario. I bought his situation. And the attempt I get, because honestly, it's the easiest route to go. He didn't try to cut or anything like that, which takes balls. He literally went a route that would be easier. And so I bought that too. He was fine, which I bought that three. But it was, again, the same problem we're having with the vampire hunters. This wasn't a part of the plot. This was the MacGuffin.
Then why have it? It literally had no bearing on the story.
It did.
You could have taken it out.
Because it pushed her brother over the edge. But what it did do is it gave her or him a reason to text her something that would actually get her attention.
Yeah,
and actually,
he didn't kill
himself.
It was a very obvious call for help.
He
didn't do anything.
Basically, came to blows. So that was the whole scenario setup, and they fucking foreshadowed this whole situation with her not eating enough, and she's going to make a big mistake. I mean, they basically laid this fucker right at your feet and said, "Oh, she's going to try to kill her brother."
They could have taken out the best friend from the rest of the movie and it still would have been the same movie. And here's why. Because the brother's angry because the parents can't get a hold of her. He can't get a hold of her. Everyone's angry that she's not responding.
Right.
Her brother's is resentful towards her anyway. That fight would have happened with or without the best friend. Yeah. It was aiming for it anyway. So you take the best friend out of the equation. Same fight happens. Same mistake happens. It literally had zero bearing on the plot. And here's another thing. This is lazy storytelling and lazy writing. He is a carbon character. He is a carbon character that you are meant to project yourself onto to put yourself in the movie. That is lazy and that is lame. That is lazy writing and that is lame. I have zero emotional connection to this character. It has nothing to do with his sexuality or anything. I did not care that he tried to kill himself because I know nothing about him.
Yeah.
I know he's gay. I know he's lonely.
But that's it.
I have no emotional connection to him at all because he is a carbon character that people with that specific issue are supposed to put themselves into. Exactly. He's a plot device that had nothing to do with the plot, and the plot would have been the exact same if you lifted it all out.
Yeah.
And I guess
I did not fan cast because...
Yeah, it's the same thing. If you lift that whole arc with this...
is because under other circumstances... Brother and sister had no reason to talk.
Yes, they did. Brother and sister had every reason to talk because everyone else was contacting them, even not even the best friend. The best friend wasn't even the first person to be concerned that she wasn't responding. It was the parents. The same thing would have happened without the best friend. The story
and
the
I won't argue
change.
That any further for you, but I will say that at this rate, again, these movies are all trash.
Yeah, but
there is no salvation for Helen Keller, Aqua Slash, Clown Town, or Bit.
And but that's the banana exactly split.
All
of
them
are
said that. What?
But from my personal point of view, mm-hmm. for production value and at least acting, I'm going to give it to this one. Because out of sheer principle, Clown Town, there was no acting. It was some asshole walking around town in makeup and an outfit doing this.
But it had
Danny,
better cinematography.
There's 45 fucking minutes.
Dude, of all the movies we've picked, you really hated Clown Town, and I feel like it's a direct attack on me.
Jim's got.
Oh, no. If I wanted to attack you,
Senator
buddy,
Jim has the floor.
No, Samantha, we'll just leave. These two fuck mutts are just going to have their own fucking show, apparently. Jesus Christ. I'm like, you got a crowbar in here? Like, two words in edgewise, please.
What was your movie pick anyway?
Good, sir.
Yeah, well, you know.
You know what? It is Jim's turn. So everyone just shut the fuck up. James, that means you.
Don't try and jump on my fucking bandwagon, you fuck. All right, this is just a show that we all break up and go our separate ways. This is like the end of something.
We're all on the subway.
Yeah, just everyone's had a shit day, and we're just like, fuck off. Then we just go our separate ways.
We really are. I could tell all of us have had shit days because we're all just at each other's throats today.
Mine was good until the show started. I kid. No,
I'm just going to apologize to all of you. I shouldn't lash out at you guys, but... I'm sorry.
This is all right. All right.
Especially you, Danny.
I accept your apology.
Continue with the movie critique, Jim.
Please, Jim.
A group hug for the not another podcast. Not another hug. Not another group hug. Okay. With that, I will simply start by saying I apologize to all of you for having to watch this fucking movie. This movie was a lie. This movie was corruption. This was specifically misleading, based on the synopsis alone. Like the cover art is very innocuous. It's just like, you know, a real simple shot of a girl with like, you know, bite marks or whatever, and then that's it. But so I'm like, well, I'll give the synopsis a try. So I read the synopsis, and the synopsis is like, transgender girl moves to LA and falls in with a bunch of lesbians to fight toxic masculinity. I'm like, on paper, fucking shut up and take my money. I want to see this movie, and not to clown on it, but because it sounds like a legitimately new and fresh idea that I would love to get behind.
Yeah,
none of that. If I had to describe this to somebody, I would say take everything that you got from the trailer and the description, and just the opposite of that. Just everything away. It made you think that it was going to be funny. The humor was very sparse and almost shoehorned in. Like obviously, they had they paid some, you know, joke doctor or script doctor to come in there and try and shoehorn in a couple of witty moments. But it led you to believe that it was going to be a little bit smarter than it was. So, yeah. This spoiled, self-absorbed girl moves to L.A., right? No real backstory. All she has to do, here's the, as a mama's boy, I was hella pissed. She gets there, I'm like, just call your fucking mom. Call your fucking mom. She made like a huge point, and it just get right the fuck off your back, and you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it because you're just all about, I just got to go and dance. Goes out with her brother, ditches her brother. First day in LA, she has no fucking clue where she lives. She's got no fucking clue anything. And it's like, oh yeah, we're just going to hang out in this club where, you know, I'm sure there's no date rapists in LA. Of course, not at all.
No.
Right? And she just sort of like, oh, I just kind of wander away. And it wasn't like a siren song called her. It wasn't like Frozen 2. Like she heard this, nah. And then she's like, oh, what's that sound? And like wanders outside the bar. No, she's just like, I'm ditching my brother because his party's lame, and I'm gonna go check out this other band. And so yeah, she falls in with this group. And first of all, whenever you see a white girl with cornrows, I mean that's a red flag right there.
Trouble.
True.
Red flag. Was it? Tom Segura has a great bit about white girls with cornrows, and it's truth. It's Bible truth. You see a girl like that, and you're just like, she's gonna fuck some shit up. And so. Here she is. She's in LA. She uses her brother like fucking toilet paper. She lets these random chicks come over to the house and just like totally like do what the fuck ever. And it's like, oh yeah, I'm just standing here in my place. I was kind enough to let you in and your friends that you met from the night before just come rolling through. She fucks up her life. She fucks up his life. Right. And just it just makes every bad decision that you could make along the way. And then it just sort of, she didn't have any kind of real arc. It was just sort of like she was shitty at the beginning, and she was shitty at the end. The only difference is now she's going to be shitty for a lot longer. It was the first half of the movie and the second half of the movie felt like two separate movies that they kind of shoehorned together. That maybe they were trying to shop this out as maybe like a series or something, but definitely the first half. I'm sitting there the whole time. I'm like, it's 45 fucking minutes in this movie, and I'm hating it. And then there are these vampire hunters that come out of nowhere, and I'm like, okay, now we're fucking talking, finally. And then they're here, and then they're gone, you know, and they don't pose much of a threat. And then the one scene where the main vampire girl, who woman, excuse me, woman, I don't know, with a female.
Oh, Duke?
What's the proper pronoun for female vampire independent woman who may or may not be in a relationship?
The leader or the...
Ivanka.
Man? Yeah. Ivanka? Yeah, really. That sounds about right. I don't know if that's fact, but that sounds about like truth right there. So she like seduces rando dude that she's like hustling with pool, right? And then just like, you know, all right, well, let me see your dick. Like that's like, that's, first of all, that's really weird.
Yeah,
like, really, strike number one.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to pay you any money, but if you want to see my dick, you know, and then he just like flops it onto the table, which I think is very disrespectful to the establishment, you know, because
it's very disrespectful to the table for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that felt
now ruined.
It's absorbent, right? Okay, it's porous. It's gonna just like all the oils and the shit from the dick are gonna get onto the table, and then whoever plays on it is gonna get chlamydia.
And who takes that wager anyway?
Yeah, like, exactly.
That's a personal stakes, dude. It's not worth seeing. It's just not.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Last chicken in the shop look is not something you can wager upon. You know.
Yeah. Now, and there was parts of the movie where I wanted to get behind it. I wanted to go along with it a little bit. I started giving it a little bit more of a chance to kind of turn around and be something of some kind of substance, but it just kept disappointing me at every step. So here we are. There's a scene with the main vampire woman, and she's got this guy with her, and it turns out he was a date rapist, or it's alluded that he raped some woman named Karen or whatever. and so she's like, she goes over and she kills his friend, and she even says, she's like, he didn't even do anything wrong. His only sin was having shitty friends. Like, that's fucked up right there. And so she's like, it's the quotient of innocent to guilty is like 80-20. That was 50-50. There's two dudes there. One was a piece of shit, deserved to die. The other one was just, like, I'm your wingman for the night, bro. And he said he'd get me laid. He'd do the whole dick on the pool table thing. And all the girls would go, we should have sex with you guys. That's how he explained it in the car. And his idiot friend believed him. And what did he get for his troubles? He got his throat ripped out. You know, and so, like, if there was a stronger element, like, if there was, like, the female vampires are just running shit, and there's, like, groups of them, and they're all working together, showing that that's possible. That to me would say more about what I think this movie was trying to get out there, which is about, like, you know, a woman's power is you know, is subjugated, and that if they were given the opportunity, they would, you know, they would be able to flourish. Or I don't even know what the fuck the point is after a while. Then you get into like the 70s, like, yeah, he can't OD, and it wasn't Dracula, it was Vlad, I guess, Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't actually
that
Vlad.
Actor was.
He wasn't awful. Attractive at all.
So cringy.
He was not.
He was he not attractive, but he was incredibly cringy. But I guess that adds to the level of his power.
He had a European
spell.
He had a European Rocky Dennis look, right? Like if they masked in Italy, that's the guy they would have gotten. Like Eric Stoltz's like passport wouldn't have worked. And like, let's go with this fucking guy.
You're Rocky Dennis.
European Rocky Dennis. So he's like a little bit, right? No, I go to the camp with the blind guy.
Wow.
Outstanding.
So this, and like the whole like story is like there's all these brides and they're all subjugated by him, and then like they take over, and then like they just fuck each other over, and it's, I don't know, it was very convoluted, and the ending just kind of felt like, you obviously everyone knew that she was going to bite her brother. That was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But after it happens and she's in, like, he survives or whatever, and then like she's explaining, like, sorry about all that, and he's up on the roof and he's totally cool with it. I'm like, he should be pissed. Like, there's like, maybe like a big division that could set up a sequel, for God's sake. I don't know who would want to fucking see it, but like at least put some kind of a thought into the story as a whole to see if maybe it could continue in some kind of a way, so that maybe this was just a shitty preamble and the sequel could be like really have it shit together. But I don't know. So for me, alternate tagline for this would be a bit. Lady and the Vamp. Maybe? No? A little bit? A little dad joke there? Okay.
Nice. I like that. Okay.
I'm convinced this movie made me hate it. Like, I wanted to like it a lot, but it made me hate it. I don't know why. A deleted scene that I'd like to see would be... this might be a little fucked up. But So it would be the bestie, right? And he's just like texting and texting and like thinking about like the different ways that he's going to try and like obviously not really kill himself, but like do this call for help. And he's like, you know, I could hang myself or something. And just like, no, I don't want to leave a bloated corpse. And so he settles on like aspirin because like it thins the blood. And so he thinks that it'll make him look more attractive. And I don't know, some kind of fucked up scene like that where he's like trying to consider the different ways to
vanity suicide.
Yeah. Vanity suicide. Exactly. I like that. Ooh.
Well, I think I just named the episode.
Vanity suicide. Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. I would shy away from that, maybe.
Yeah. Don't do that.
But if there was going to be a sequel, I would call it Bit 2, Children of the Corn Row. Boom.
Yeah, Jim, I'm with you. I didn't hate this movie as much as you did, but I felt robbed by it because throughout the whole thing, I kept seeing nuggets of what could be a really great movie.
And what was promised to us, like it felt like the idea of the movie, I guess some stuff could have gotten lost in editing or whatever, but it just looked like things went from here's the original story. And then it just got tweaked so horribly in post or whatever that this finished product doesn't even resemble anything that the original storyline I think was supposed to put out there. So
see,
the trailer was legitimately interesting.
Yeah. The trailer was good. And I think the casting was good. I really liked the people they got. Now costuming was bad. Flat. Yeah.
Fuck blood.
But even the lead girl, if they'd taken the cornrows out of her hair, like I think she would have been
faux hawk.
Yeah. I think a lot of the costuming choices were terrible, but I think the cat overall for this level of movie, I think the casting was really well done. I think this movie suffers from its horrible script. And Jim, I think you're right. I think the editing was poor too.
And Jim, you were right. It was your fault that we had to watch
it. It was totally your fault.
No, it was Bryce and mine because we voted on it.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way, though.
It's your fucking fault.
The editing
was exceptional because you bought the trailer. And that's the thing.
The editing of the trailer I bought. The editing of those movies together.
Oftentimes, it's a whole separate company that edits the trailer together.
And that advertising company did that trailer, they should get a fucking Academy Award.
Well, the trailer, everything in the trailer was in the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The best line in the movie was also in the trailer, and that was like, do you kill people? And she goes, indiscriminately. And like, that's the best part. I was like, yes, let's get some bitches killing people.
Yeah. I will say as a preamble, because we're not going to talk about it next week. We're going to talk about it the following week, but I will say the Banana Splits suffers all the same problems.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I understand. Here's the thing about the Banana Splits, though. When Josie and I went into watching it, we knew it was going to be a hot piece of garbage, but we like to make fun of movies when we're watching them, and that's usually what will make them rewatchable for us, is if we can crack some really good jokes and really get to laughing, then that movie gets a win for our Halloween pumpkin carving time, you know? So it's like Troll 2, Troll 1, you know, things like that. Those are Halloween pumpkin carving movies. And now Banana Splits has become one of those too, because again, it made it so easy to make fun of. And that's what we had the most fun with. It is not by any stretch of the imagination a good movie. I would say going into it, expect the cinematography to be that of Aquaslash.
Going into it, also no, Bit was a better movie.
Oh no.
Exactly.
Than Aquaslash?
Better production.
No, than the Banana Splits.
Like oh.
Which was Danny's pick.
Are we going to rank all these before our next round?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No, it's just sure, because we're like, this is this better shit, than that. We never speak of it again. We log the tapes of these episodes away in a dark hole in the middle of the ocean. And never speak of this again.
It's a five-way tie.
No, because
for
last place. This is an ongoing series, so it's like each round. Yes, we have our rounds, but we will continue going back to these movies that we've watched. Yeah. So,
you might. I'm not.
Ryan watched Bit with me. I said it's been a crappy day, and I was a little. When I'm upset about something, I don't like to be touched. I don't want to be comforted. Like, just let me feel things and give me my time. But when my, you know, when I'm like calmer, I get a little, maybe a little clingy. And so I was like, we went and got ice cream. We sat down and watched this shitty movie together. And I was just like, snuggle with my boyfriend. So it was
me, get away from me. Get over here.
I'm going to eat ice cream and snuggle with you whether you like it or not.
Andre, and then I go, and I'm like a cat when I'm upset. And then I go back to don't touch me or talk to me.
So, you scratch my tummy long enough.
Pet me with your eyes.
Exactly. And then I went and took a nap. But yeah, he watched this movie with me and he looked at me. He goes, why did you make me do this? I said, you could have left at any time. I did not make you do this.
I couldn't go. You had a death grip on my arm.
You were under no obligation to stick around.
here's what I will say though. We've watched some shit movies, but I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah.
No, this was a good idea. It's been fun, and
the idea of this segment, not
yeah.
I still have to watch Banana Splits.
Same here.
I showed Ryan the trailer, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm not watching that." Yeah, and I said, "I don't blame you."
Yeah, Bit had a better trailer. And overall, I think Bit was a better movie with as shitty as it was. Banana Splits is... If we were going to rank these movies, Bit would be my number one. Banana Splits would be my number two.
Ooh.
So the best movies we've seen, but they're still god-awful.
That's fair. That's fair.
Made me like thinking ahead, like because we're choosing these movies based on the trailers... I'm really paying more attention to the trailers now to try and pick better movies. Because we are going to one of us is going to stumble across a gem. Just a great fucking movie. And it's going to shock all of us.
And the thing about it is, though, is I'll be honest with you, if I had to watch the trailer for FDR, American Badass, which is kind of what got us started on this whole thing.
Yeah.
I wanted no fucking part of it, but one day I saw it on Netflix and it was just the thing up there. And it was like, I had totally forgotten that I'd seen the trailer and I was like, yeah, all right. It looks fucking silly. And it's Barry Boswick. How can you go wrong with Barry fucking Boswick?
And you can't.
And it was glorious, but it was one of those things.
Was.
That trailer was awful.
Yeah.
It's a shit movie that knows it's a shit movie. It doesn't try to be anything but a shit movie, and it's fucking hilarious.
But it was funny, yeah, and that was the thing. It was genuinely funny, but it's like, as we've learned, the trailer means absolutely nothing.
Well, and keep this in mind, too. None of us saw the trailer for Helen Keller versus Night Wolves. We went in based solely on Bryce's recommendation. That was it.
Never do that again.
Nope. And also, to be fair, Bryce's is the only movie we didn't vote on.
Yeah.
I still fucking love it. I don't know what was wrong with all of you.
There are genuine funny moments. Like, just because the performers in that movie are hilarious. And I hated it, but I loved it.
Like, is there pie? I can smell pie. Is there pie? Is this pie?
60%. I just hated that movie so much because it was so cringy, but I loved it because of how outrageous it was.
It was 60% of that ridiculous. Movie
was just, okay, Helen, go into this room and just fuck everything up. Just go through.
You know that was the direction, too. There was no script. It's like, okay, we've got this room. Tear it up.
And the brother was probably my favorite character.
I'm going to drink an alcoholic or root beer over here.
And he's going to go sing. And just... He was great.
It was so absurd.
And the wolves attacking were just stuffed wolves, and they just kind of tossed him out.
During the day. Every attack happened during the day.
They couldn't afford lighting.
But there was a blue filter on the camera, so it was sort of night.
Oh, totally.
The taxidermied wolves, or just wolf stock footage. And it's just public domain from like the 50s or whatever.
CGI blood.
How can you hate this movie? It's brilliant. It's absurd. It's aware of its absurdity.
Yeah.
And it just revels in it.
Which is what makes it great. I agree.
I think my level of absurdity for horror movies has to be on the page of Ed Wood. You have to believe you're doing a great job making a really great horror film. And then once you realize you're terrible at it and everyone laughs at your movie because it's so try hard. that's when it's good for me to be over the top and absurd. I love that. When you go into a movie, though, and you're like, I want to make a horror movie, but I want to make this as stupid as humanly possible. I want to make sure that my actors who can act don't. I want to make sure that my story that might make sense doesn't. And I'm going to do it all for about $10,000 because the rest of the money's going up my nose.
I feel like that's it's how, like, we would all make a movie.
That's why I don't like it.
It was obviously a blackmail movie because there was more than a couple of, like, decent names in it. There was a couple of guys from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I know, and that's the thing.
A couple other character actors. I'm like, that.
Let's make sure our actors who can.
See, Danny, I think you went into that one with the wrong mentality. I think if you'd gone into that knowing that it's a guy who's making a shit movie to make a shit movie. He's not trying to say anything. He's not trying to do anything with. He's just going to make a shit movie with a very, very, very loose premise.
That falls under the Nickelback premise for me, you know.
Nickelback writes the
same song over and over again because they know it sells. Not because
AC/DC and Kiss and Led Zeppelin, all those bands made a career doing the same thing. You can't just blame fucking Nickelback. Here's the thing, though. Here's the difference, really quick. Nickelback takes themselves seriously. The guy who made Helen Keller versus Night Wolves does not.
Yeah, the guy at the very beginning of the movie. The guy at the very beginning of the movie tells you straight up that this is going to be. And like I explain this guy as like if a bag of Doritos came to life and made a movie, it'd be this fucking asshole at the beginning of Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves. Like a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos gets struck by lightning and it comes to fucking life. And it's like the person who does it, like, I got to make a movie.
That's the movie we make.
I know Helen Keller and I know Wolves.
Doritos come to life.
The movie we make is
the making of Helen Keller. That's what we make.
Like the HR.
We have to make it even more ridiculous, too.
Exactly.
I do want to say something, though. Throughout this whole endeavor that we've, you know, tried to do, you're right, James. I went into Helen Keller expecting a movie, and I was greeted with not. And for me, that hit the bottom rung of movie quality. After watching, you know, what was it next? It was Clown Town. Then it was Aqua Slash. And now it's this. By the time I hit this last movie, my way of seeing these horrid pieces of garbage had changed. Mm-hmm. Now, I will never, ever, 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 ever go back and rewatch Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves.
I did.
That's just off the table. But I will say that I think at this point I've changed my way of viewing these because originally when I watch horror movies, I want to watch something scary. I want to watch a good story. I want someone to tell me something that's at least interesting or fascinating for whatever reason. You know, like watching top five ghost videos caught on film on YouTube is more interesting than
Nuke's top most five. Of
the mainstream horror that comes out.
Amazing top 10. Great
exactly. Channel. Yeah. Nuke's top five, you know, shit like there you go. Free plug. But I look for stuff like that genuinely interests me or is entertaining in some fashion, you know, whether it comes from folklore or it's a new concept, whatever. I like that part of horror. After going through all these movies, I don't like horror anymore. No.
Well, here's what I'll say to that.
It's dead.
It makes me sad.
No, here's what I will say, and I think you guys can all agree, because we started at, like you said, Danny, the bottom rung. But with each movie that got selected,
we found another bottom rung.
No, the quality of movie that we're choosing is going up. Now, the movies themselves have not been good. Hands down, they have not been good. But the quality is getting better, and that's why it gives me hope that we're going to start finding really good movies. They're going to be
accidents. You're the member of the fucking Donner Party that said, one more, just over this hill, bro. Just over this
one
hill.
California.
Jim, here's
over this hill.
And I'm going to give you full credit for this, Jim, because, again, yours was the first really decent movie we've watched in this series.
This is what happens when I try.
Again, the movie was shit. But of the movies we'd watched, it was the best.
Had the highest quality, at least.
I think there's a competitive thing going on with all of us. We're all trying not only to find something that's good, but we're also trying to one-up each other. And Jim, you fucking went to the well to find something good. And again, the trailer sold you a fucking shit bag of goods, but we all watched the trailer together and we were all like, this looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
You know what this movie was for me personally? This movie was the Atari Jaguar, because when all my friends got fucking like PlayStations and like N64s and shit, I'm like, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to be like Fleetwood Mac. I'm going to do my own fucking thing. I'm going to get the Atari Jaguar because it's like, it's interesting. It's different. It's new. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be good. No, it doesn't have to be good. Just because it's different, just because it's new, doesn't mean it's just a different flavor of shit.
It's like when people got the Amazon Fire phone.
So, I mean, but well, Danny, everything you described, I saw in Helen Keller versus the Night Wolves. You had real, like, historical figures. You had mythological creatures in the Night Wolves. So, I mean, there's a level of fantasy mixed with, like, truth and reality. I mean, there's a lot there that I think is easy to glom over. But if you give it a second to just let it be silly, you can have a much, much, much more fun time. Like, I,
yeah. And here's the other thing I will say about this going forward.
It's I'll concede gonna be- that one to you, Jim. That one, I'm glad you like it there, my friend. And I'm happy for you.
Agree to disagree?
I am going to say I'm going to agree to never speak of that movie ever again.
Until the next time he wants to cut you down. But here's what I will say on this, and then we should wrap this up. I think it's going to be interesting moving forward, because I think now we all have a really good sense of each other's personal tastes as far as these movies go. And so it's going to be interesting as we pick movies to try and vote, how we angle it towards, like, okay, I picked this movie because I'm pretty sure I'm going to get Sam's vote and maybe Bryce's as well. Danny might be up in the air. Jim's not going to vote for this at all. You know, there's going to be that sort of mentality, I think, whether it's conscious or subconscious, when we pick movies from now on, about who's going to vote for this base. And again, we're picking these movies based solely on the trailers. So I think that's going to be interesting going forward.
I think the next round should just be, we all pick books on tape. And we have to listen to the book on tape.
Well, remember too, we've got to get through Danny's movie, but we also decided that we're going to, the next movie that we all come with is going to be a theme. So we're going to have to sit down and figure out a theme that we all want to choose from. Samantha just left.
All right.
The power just went out.
Oh, jeez.
Fucking 2020.
Best of luck, Sam. We're praying for you.
Well, since Sam left, I guess that's it. That's it for us. We'll talk to you all next week.
Yeah, we're gonna leave because the talent is gone now.
Yeah, really. Just walked right out the door.
Sad but true.
You guys have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, boys. Have a good
bye.
One.
Bye. Bye, brah.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.